turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Don and Eddie asked me to express to you their thanks for all your prayers, your concern, your visits, cards, everything that was done. They really appreciate it. And I hope you will continue to pray for them. Why don't we stand and read beginning at verse 20 and go through verse 27. Responsive reading, you read the second verse. I'll read the first, and that's verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established.
Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
Lord, we thank you for your word. What a blessing it's been to our lives. I pray you give me freedom and ease to preach and bring a message that will touch hearts and lives. Bless us, Lord, in your mercy. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Solomon is writing to his sons, and he's giving them some pretty good advice. But this is not only writing to his sons, but this is God writing to you. See, not only did Solomon write this, but it's the Word of God. And being the Word of God, it's powerful. It's instructive. It's dangerous to ignore it. Amen. And I just, there's certain verses here that are just so powerful. Look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. We keep preaching and telling you it's the words of God that are important. We don't want to know what you think he means. We want to know what did he say. Because those of us that have read a bunch of books and religion and doctrine and whatever, there are people out there saying everything on the same verses. There are people teaching things that are just so contrary that it's hard to believe. And yet, as the Sunday school teacher said this morning, they ought to be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has said, if the false prophets had preached my word, they'd have got saved, they'd have got changed. But they didn't preach his word, and so that's why they were false prophets and caused a lot of problems. So Solomon's saying, my son, attend to my words. Wow, I know I had five children. 17-year stretch between them. After I had the first one, I thought I knew what to do with the second one. But I didn't. And after I had two boys, by the way, I thought I knew what to do with that girl. But I didn't. I learned something new with each kid I had. Every one of them threw me a curveball at different times. You just got to stay up on it. And trust God and trust His Word. And one of the things that my wife and I agreed on, we agreed the Bible would be our guide. Amen. And so we would study how to handle things if we could find any examples from Scripture and teaching such as this right here. Now, what a wonderful thing when a son does listen to his father. I remember Eddie was already back from Germany. He was married and he was trying to go to college, working his way through. And he had a night watchman's job. And I couldn't sleep one night. I thought, I'll just go and visit with him a little bit. So I drove over to the night watchman's job where he was. He was there. And so he said, Dad, you haven't given me any advice for 6 months. I said, that's right. He said, thank you. Thank you. Now I've got something I want to ask you. And I needed to give him some more advice. Solomon said, pay attention to my words. Attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to give you the benefit of my experience. I'm trying to keep you from going through what I went through. You say, well, when you were a kid, you did this, you did that. That's probably true. But I'm smarter now than I was when I was a kid. I may not be the smartest one around, but bless your heart, I'm sure a lot smarter than I was when I was 16 and 18 and 19. Aren't you? Attend unto my words, my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now, Solomon says, and it's actually, let's move it up from Solomon. It's God saying to his children, you need to pay attention to this book. I would say that even in very fundamental churches such as we are, most of you don't read the Bible very much. Amen. You don't nearly read it near as much as you ought to. Yes, amen. You don't know it as well as you ought to. And these words are life. It says right here, for they are life unto those that find them. I think of the transformation that came in my life. I grew up, rode a motorcycle 12 to 14. At 14, I was able to get a driver's license, and so I sold my motorcycle, bought an old 40 Ford, and rebuilt it. My daddy, of course, the guiding light on all that, trying to teach me mechanics and painting body and everything else. And I was interested in three things: girls, cars, and football. Those were my passions. And you know, just about 21, and it was in that order, girls first, cars second, and football third. After I was about 14, I was very interested in girls. By the way, I still am, ladies. Just want you to know, warning. And then in Roswell, New Mexico, I had my girl. And God Almighty broke in on my life. Changed me. What a revolution. What a blessing the Word of God did to me. And all of a sudden, the most important thing to me was the Word of God. I traded my camels for a New Testament and read it and read it and read it. And every time I wanted to smoke, I said, oh Lord, having a nicotine fit. And I opened the Bible and read it and prayed. But you know what that gave me before I ever went to college? A knowledge of the Bible. When I went to college, before I entered that college class at Howard Payne, I'd read the New Testament over 60 times and the Old Testament 15. And I'm in there with high school graduates who've been taught Sunday school all their lives. And some of those professors didn't tell it right. And I would say, but what about Isaiah says? What about Matthew here? What about... Because I hear them, and I knew what this book said. It's the words are important. I got a testimony back from the mission field 10, 15 years ago. There was a young boy right out of high school. He was a Christian. He was a preacher. And he asked Brother Joe West, pastor here in town, very interested in missions. Ask him if he knew me. And he said, yes, he did. And he wanted to know how I turned out. He said, well, how did you know him? He said, I was in a college class where I stood up against a fellow that had two PhDs and one THD. Man was educated. But I did have arguments with this man because I thought he was too liberal. And I would say, yes, sir, I know you're smart, you're the professor, but the word says this. And it impressed that young man to read the Bible. He went on as a preacher and he wondered whatever happened to me. That was an encouragement to me. What a blessing. I had an explosion in my life, and the number one thing from that time to this has been my salvation and my opportunity to preach and the book that I've got in my hands that is my authority. I don't have a college dictionary or lexicon that is my authority. This book right here, King James Version of the Bible, 1611, that's my authority. And I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ with it, in spite of being very well educated in all this stuff. He said, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they're life unto those that find them. Have you found the word that you can trust? You can trust this word. But you see, it's just not enough to say, I trust the word. You got to pick a verse. And in your troubles, you say, I take this verse and I believe it, and I'm going to rest in it. And that builds your shield of faith. But you see, you don't just automatically have this shield of faith unless you have faith in the promises of God. You have faith that what He said is true on how to raise a child. By the way, on how to build a good marriage. How to build a church. How to answer the difficulties that are in life. You know, God keeps throwing curveballs my way. Doesn't He you? Everything happen the way you think it's going to happen? Do you ever get sick? Have you ever had a heart attack or a bypass surgery or atrial fibrillation or diabetes or a stroke? God keeps throwing curveballs. You simply cannot predict all that's going to come your way. It's going to come your way. Now, can you trust God when it comes? Well, you won't if you haven't read it and made it yours and said, that verse I'm going to believe. That verse I will trust. Man, they're life to them that find them, and they health all to all their flesh. Now look at verse 23. Tremendous verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's your heart, God is saying, that's really affecting your life. Now, we got to watch our heart, because a verse I'm going to go to a little bit later says you can't trust it. I've had people tell me many times, oh, I know it in my heart. No, you don't. No, you really don't. You can't trust your heart. Your heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked.
Amen.
You can't trust your heart. Your heart will make you not discipline your children right.
Amen.
Your heart will make you sentimental about dogs and cats and rats and guppies. Am I right? Of course it is. A person that I know tried to get a dog for their little boy at one of the shelters. And they had to sign that they would keep the dog in the house, only let him out a couple of hours a day. Dogs were meant to be outside. God didn't say, build houses for all your cows. Because when cold weather comes, the poor things are going to suffer. My dog has two sets of hair. He's got that hair on the outside, and it's good and strong, and underneath it is a brown fur on that black dog. I mean, he's made for Alaska. He doesn't need to. I have a light out there for him. I'm merciful. I give him food and whatever. But you people are crazy. They're not children, and I'm not a dog parent. All of my children are human beings, males and females, and I love them all, but I am not a dog parent. This world's gone crazy.
Amen.
You can kill your child, but you can't let the dog out more than 2 hours a day. If I kept that blue heeler that I have, about 50 pounds maybe, if I put him in the house, I wouldn't have a stick of furniture left. That dog is no lap dog. He might chew everything off I've got, you know, and fight me for it and have fun just tearing me up. I wear welder's gloves when I play with him. He's tough. He was made to be outside, and he's out there with them. I want you to know. He's not my child. Why don't you read the Bible and find out what your children are? Why don't you read the Bible and find out how to treat animals? I don't believe in mistreating any kind of an animal. But I think a .22 shell is just as merciful as a shot from a doctor. Oh, going to arrest me next week? You might, because this is going out. They listen to this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You got to watch what your heart's doing. Your heart will tell you, do wrong. Your heart will tell you, this is so important right now, it doesn't matter what the future holds. Your heart will tell you, God's word doesn't matter. My will matters. My pleasure matters. He said, put these words in your heart. Now, you can't listen to your heart. You got to listen to your head. That's why God gave you a brain. So that you could say sometimes to your heart, no. No. And that's all your hearts. You say, well, that sweet little grandma, she's got a wicked heart just like you do. She's got more sense than you do in that she doesn't show it. Some of you are so idiotic, you just show it all over. Now, I spent a lot of time in the hospital because of Eddie these last week or so. I went out on the way home and decided I'd get a few tacos just so I wouldn't have to go home and warm something up. So I stopped. There were two young men, working men. One of them looked like he was the journeyman, but he looked like he was in his 20s. And the other young man, he looked about 16 to me, but he could have been 25. You understand? I'm not good at judging ages. But he had on a hoodie. Had some sort of manufacturer or something on the front. And on the back, he had these filthy words. Little print, bigger print, great big print. Now, I don't know whether he felt that would make him look tough or accepted by some group. I understand tattoos are important to some groups, you know, and you want to be good with them, you got to get yourself tattooed somewhere. But it was filth. I thought about just walking. I didn't do a thing. Honestly, I did not. I kept trying to think what to do. And when I was a school teacher, if you brought something like that to school, I just had you turn it inside out. Or if it didn't work, I sent you home. And I had some of it. But you talk about advertising your stupidity on a billboard. If they'd have come into my house to work on my house, I'd have told them, get out of here and don't come back. I really would have. It upset me. the boldness, the trash, the filth. These things don't shock me. I cussed plenty before I got saved. But I never did advertise it. What does he want? Did he want a fight somewhere? Did he want somebody to say, boy, you shouldn't be doing that? Or was he trying to look like he was older than what he looked like? That's what I thought. I'm not sure. I don't understand it. Now, his heart was speaking. His heart was advertising. His heart was telling you it's wicked. His heart was telling you, I don't respect other people's opinion. His heart was telling you, I don't believe the Bible. His heart was telling you, I am an unconventional. I'm not like other people. I can portray this filth in front of everybody wherever I go. I really did think of that as a pitiful. Pitiful. I wanted to testify to him so bad, and they left before I got myself committed as to which way to go about it. To rebuke him, or just to witness to him, or ask him a question or two. What do you want, boy? You want to look old and big? Well, this makes you look small and stupid. Your heart, his heart was telling everybody in the room what it thought. What it thought was important. What it thought it was good. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Do you know a whole lot of thoughts come to my mind? Just like on that stupid computer and the television. The reason why you have a switch channel thing, maybe a clicker, is to stop some stuff from coming into your house. It's the same way with the computer. Don't tell me, you know, you're going to love the computer and cuss the television. I don't have a television, but you got a computer. Bless your heart, my computer is worse than my television. I've got to flip things. I've got to erase things. And that's in life. Your heart has to choose what it's going to serve. Amen. You can make up your mind. I'm just going to let my heart, my lust, my attention, my rebellion show everywhere. Or I can say to my heart, no, that might sound good, but it's stupid. It Amen. Might. I don't read many magazines. I'm still getting all the ones my wife just read all the time. And she had a lot of magazines and about the last 3 years of her life, she didn't go much shopping. So she shopped by these catalogs. And I've got them by the stacks. I've sent a lot of them away, given a lot away. But I do read magazines in doctor's offices. So I read them more than I want to. I read about, it was talking about Twitter and Facebook. And this young girl just got out of high school. She got her job, her first job. And she wrote on her Twitter or Facebook account, I got this blankety blank job for this blankety blank amount of money from this blankety blank company. She got fired before she showed up the first day. Did you know that they read that stuff? I hear about some people, they're saying, well, they've got my naked pictures, and I don't know how they get a hold of them, by the way. Why were you taking naked pictures anyway? Your husband doesn't know what you look like? You're suing somebody because they're selling your naked pictures? Well, you shouldn't have taken naked pictures in the first place. Amen. If you didn't want somebody to see them. You need to tell your heart no.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if you don't learn to tell your heart no, boy, you are going to get in trouble before you get to be 20 years old.
Amen.
Keep thy heart with all diligence out of it are the issues of life. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Hey, pick what you watch. Listen, little bitty kids can be taught to lust, and old men never quit lusting. I don't know about old women. I'm not an old woman. But I'm an old man, and I've talked to a lot. They may be crippled up and laying in a bed, but their head still says, I'm a man. So what do you got to tell yourself? Don't yield to temptation.
Amen.
What you got to tell yourself is, turn that off or throw that away. Don't go to certain places.
Amen.
I used to swim a mile every morning as my exercise in under an hour. But it was at the YMCA and they had it where the men and women were together. And I just got tempted by a lot of the women with their bathing suits. And I told my wife, I said, I'm through. I'm not going to put myself through that every day. And I started riding a bicycle, fully clothed. I didn't ride my bicycle in my bathing suit either. You have to say no to some things. You have to stand up and say, I will not do this. I was teaching school, and the coaches asked me if I would coach the tennis team. I said, sure, I'll help you out. And so I coached the tennis team. I had one boy. A couple of young teachers came out and saw me coaching him and didn't have much to do but him. They said, would I teach them tennis? I said, sure. Yeah, that's great. I went home to Verlene. These two teachers asked me to teach them tennis. She says, no, you're not. And I said, I'm going to have to go back and tell them my wife won't let me. What kind of a man are you? They said, we're not going to do anything. I said, I know that, but I got a jealous wife and she likes what she has. Doesn't want to give it away. I think she was smart as could be. That was intelligent. You can't trust your heart. You can't trust the temptations that come your way. You have to take a stand against them. Now look at verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet. Oh, that's sort of serious. Ponder the path of your feet. I just want to go anywhere I want to go. I want to play with anything I want to play. I want to toy with this. Oh, no, any direction's all right. No, it's not. No, it's not. There are people in jail right now because they were riding in the car with those that shot. There are people in the jail right now because they decided to drink one night, got drunk, had a wreck, killed somebody, and they were sent to prison. Kids. You need to make choices. You need to ponder the path of your feet. Where is this going to lead me? If I do this, will it cause me trouble down the line? Will it cause my kids trouble? Or my grandkids trouble? Or will it embarrass me as a pastor of the church? Or you as a Christian? You may not be a pastor, but as you heard this morning, you're going to give account. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Boy, I don't think I'm going to get through with this message unless we go to 2. Look at verse 38, chapter 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She got a crowd. She got Jesus and all the apostles. She's got her own family. She's one of those good workers, and I love you. Bless your heart. We could not do what we do without a bunch of Marthas. We need Marthas, people who are not afraid to work. And so she feels a little bit put out because Mary is sitting right there at Jesus' feet just lapping it up, hanging on every word that he says. And she's in there with the dishes and the cooking and the everything, and so she asked Jesus to back her up. What's the most important, service or love? Love's got to be the most important. Mary is just there loving the word. She is loving sitting at Jesus' feet. She's drinking it in. And Martha, she's not thinking a thing about what Jesus is doing. She's doing her work. She's a good worker. I thank God for all the good workers we got. But Jesus said one thing's needful. I used to get upset when I was an evangelist and they would take me to somebody's house where the wife stayed home to cook my meal. That upset me. I didn't want them staying home to cook my meal. I'd rather eat cold sandwiches and you come to church. That's the way I think anyway. He said one thing is needful. We need to love the Lord. We need to love His Word. We need to make decisions on that Word and on how it will affect our testimony. One thing is needful. That's the Word of God. That's what's really needful. And that's what you ought to go after. And that's what Jesus said. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. What is he saying? Well, really, basically what Billy was talking about this morning. You're going to be judged. And you're going to be judged not just by what you said, but what you said and what you did. What you say and what you do reveals who you are. You're not just who you claim to be. We all would claim better for ourselves than what we really are. Man, I'm stronger. I'm more handsome. Oh, isn't that a handsome face? I know you're jealous. My physique? I have 6 foot almost of bone and muscle covered with a protective layer of fat. Aren't you jealous? You ought to be. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. How can you do some things sometimes? It's because of you got a good heart. Do you have a good heart? Well, some people do. Some people have a better heart than others. They really do. And some people have a more evil heart than others. When I walked into that taco place, I looked at that hoodie on this kid. And I said, boy, that came from an evil heart. That came from a filthy mind. That came from where I don't want to go. What comes out of you? How do you know if your heart is acting good or your heart is acting evilly? By what it produces. Isn't that simple? The simple thing is, what comes out of it? Is it evil? Is it going to be damaging? Is it going to be hurtful? Is it going to be embarrassing to the Lord Jesus Christ that one of His would do what you're doing? Or is it good? Is it kind? Is it thoughtful? He said right here, a good man out of the good treasure, or an evil man out of the evil treasure. It's what you do with what you have. Now go to Jeremiah 17:9. What a verse. I remember when I first read it, I just was struck by it. But here's this chapter in the Old Testament, and I'm running through it, and then all of a sudden, bam, I hit a verse I can't get past. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things. There's nothing more deceitful than your heart. So don't tell me how you really got your heart in it. I'll know where it's coming from. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart is very selfish. Your heart wants only for you. That's your wicked heart. Your wicked heart is you want sex for you. You want money for you. You want success for you. Not thinking about anybody else. Maybe not thinking about your wife, not thinking about your children, or not thinking about your husband, or thinking about your children and your family, and what kind of a future you're giving them by the decisions you're making. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, here it is. You ever wonder what you can know? You can't know your heart. Who can know it? God. God can know it. You don't know it. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. What that heart produces is what God is looking at. And he says, I search the heart. Wow. You say, I trust my heart. You better not. You better judge your own heart. No matter how much you have passion and love and care out of that heart, you better put it through the brain and say, does that fit with the Word of God? Does that fit with good? What's going to be the long-term result of what I do? We've got a lot of people not thinking about the future. It's bad. That's why so many of these kids are in trouble. They're deserted by their parents. They're deserted. They're not raised. Some of them aren't even fed very good. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give to every man according to his ways. Do you know what God's going to judge? He's going to judge your ways. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. And for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Sometimes repentance can't restore. Oh, I've seen, and I have in my life, repented and seen restoration. It's a wonderful thing. But it doesn't always happen. Didn't happen for Esau. Esau come in hungry. He said his brother, who's a fine cook, he was a mama's boy, knew how to cook good. And he said, hey, let me have some of that. In a Mexican household, it'd be chili or tamales. Or pinto beans or charro beans. How about a big bowl of charro beans? Well, I'll give it to you for your birthright. Ah, what's my birthright to me? Give me the beans, I'm about to die. I'm sure big old strong Esau wasn't about to die. Boy, he woke up some years later and said, I want my heritage. I want my inheritance. Sorry. He cried. The Bible says tears. He cried. Sorry. It's gone. You threw it away. What have you thrown away? What have you thrown away? Wow, have we made some mistakes in life. Everybody in this room. They're not any of us. Boy, I made some mistakes. Whew. What about the mercy and loving kindness of God? Wow. I am thankful for God's mercy and His loving kindness. That He ignored so many things in my life and changed me and transformed me. And even as a Christian, I've done stupid things. What about a root of bitterness? Does that faith you have in it judgment of vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, that's a big one. Instead of holding on to that anger, to that hate, that bitterness. Because you see, you don't hurt them when you do that. You hurt yourself. Nothing worse than bitterness in your own heart. And you still holding on to it. Can you give it to God and say, God, take care of this. I'm taking my hands off of it. I don't want bitterness anymore. That fellow that suffered so much in World War II and became famous for it, and they wrote the movie about him. He had PTSD, terrible, dreams every night. He was a drunk. His wife was ready to divorce him because he was a drunk. She couldn't do anything with him. He couldn't handle it. Finally talked him into going to a Billy Graham campaign. And he got saved. And he never had another dream. All his PTSD was gone. And he decided to go back to Japan and witness of the salvation that he had gotten and forgive all of those captors. Now, the movie doesn't tell you that. It tells you it goes back to forgive, but they don't tell you anything about Billy Graham's campaign or the sermon that he preached. I'd like to know the sermon Billy Graham preached that night. Hey, Billy Graham's a good preacher. Solid preacher of the Word of God. You got bitterness? He had a reason to have some bitterness, didn't he? Man, I'm telling you, what will bitterness do to you? Some of you between husband and wife need to forgive each other. I know it's awful. It's absolutely wicked. It was sin and you were abused. Forgive them. Don't let bitterness stay inside of you. It'll eat at you something terrible. Forgive them. Put them in God's hands. God, you take care of them. I can't. I can't handle this. I can't live with this. I can't have happiness with this. But bless your heart, if you can give it to God, turn the bitterness away, you can walk on in peace and happiness and joy and victory. Don't let that bitterness control your heart, your emotions, your love, your passions. Christian friend, there might be something you need to forgive today. There might be somebody you need to get up and go over to and just hug on them and tell them, I'm sorry for the thoughts I've had about you. I'm sorry that I haven't forgiven you. Maybe some of your husbands and wives, you need to tell each other. You need to kiss each other. You need to hug each other. You need to tell them, I forgive you. Because it's the only way for you to go on. For you to get victory. Maybe you just need to tell the Lord, Lord, I've been holding this too long. Forgive me. I'm going to forgive those that I've held this against. And forgive me. And if you happen to be here and you're not saved, let me tell you something. Nothing you have ever done is so big that God can't forgive it. God's forgiveness is infinite. God's forgiveness is miraculous. It's powerful. I had a great big load on my shoulders on the first day of September 1957. And God took it off. Forgave me. Restored me. Gave me a direction. An explosion. My wife came down. She said, it hadn't always been easy, Lyndall, but it's never been dull. She saw a transformed person in one day. Bang. I was different. I was different. You can be too. You can be too. You can get saved. If you're here and not saved, you can be a member of this church for 15 years and not be saved. You know in your heart. Call on God and ask for forgiveness. Trust Him to forgive you. Trust Him to restore you. Trust Him to take away the bitterness in your own heart. Probably over little things. Maybe over something great big. I see people on TV all the time, they're wanting closure. Well, when they go to prison, you don't get closure. When they electrocute them, you don't get closure. Well, let me tell you what, you can get forgiveness. Guaranteed. You can get forgiveness. And you can forgive. And you can have a heart without bitterness. Make some decisions by the knowledge of the Word of God you have in your brain, not just the desires of your heart. You can't trust your heart. Let's sing Just As I Am. I want to open this altar to all the Christians here. Maybe you have something light, maybe you have something heavy. Whatever you need, why don't you just step out. Come on down, get on your knees, ask God to forgive you. If you're here and you're not saved, I want to invite you to come here. Talk to me. I'll listen with you. I'll talk to you. I'll pray with you. You can be saved. If God's spoken to your heart, come on down. Play it all the way through.